Well, good morning, everybody. Those who are here and those who are online, may the Lord bless you this morning. This is the last segment of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. A little bit of context for you at the time. This is towards the beginning of Jesus' three-year ministry. It's shortly after his 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, where I am sure the Father and the Holy Spirit, they were communing and talking and sharing and inspiring. And he then went with his group of disciples, which he built up, to Galilee. And he spent some time there. Not quite sure how long he spent there, but he spent a fair amount of time in Galilee. And translators and everybody else calls this the Sermon on the Mount. I am not convinced this is one sermon. It's a series of talks, sharing, however he did it in his own amazing way, with his disciples, the crowds, the Pharisees and Sadducees that came to see him. As we've discovered over the last, I think it's months we've been doing this, there is so much in just these two chapters of Matthew. There are parts of it in Luke as well. But as we get to the end, there seems to be one focus. And that is for everybody, every one of us, and everybody there. I think it's around worry, anxiety, and stress, which seems to be incredibly timely today, and incredibly timely for all of us. Claire said, "Are you ready?" I think he's got something. Well, I hope the Lord has got something. I'm worried about this. It's not about Paul. I'm sorry. Yes, there are references which I can give to Paul. It's not about Paul, whose life inspires and challenges me. But it's actually coming from a study that Lizzie and, I'm forgetting people's names now, Gilbert and Julia have been doing. We have gone through Matthew over the last 6 months on a Thursday morning on Zoom. We haven't rushed through it. Sometimes we've spent all the hour on just one verse. Other times, and this we've just moved on to Acts, we can go through a whole chapter, but we are discovering so much more by just doing that. We've all been Christians a very long time, and we've all thought we knew it all. Well, maybe I'm the only one who thought I knew it all. But we've missed so much. We've missed so much by listening to other people talk about Matthew or Acts, listening to sermons which had a particular direction. And we have the wonderful opportunity on a Thursday morning, and do encourage others of you, maybe just get together and do this, to ask questions that we wouldn't do on a Sunday morning. You can ask me about Matthew 6, 25 to 34, and I'll answer questions. But we can do it on Zoom. We know each other very well. We can ask sometimes serious, obvious questions that we've never asked or never understood before. Give you a bit of context. The Jewish nation had been under the Romans and the Roman occupation for at least 37 years, but under occupational control by one tribe or another for a very long time. Yes, there had been trouble. They were looking for a savior, but they were oppressed. They were controlled, not just by the Romans and having to pay taxes to them, but sadly to say the religious authorities, the Pharisees and Sadducees. But they had to get on with their own lives. They had to move on. They were looking for a saviour, as we know, a saviour that would set them free from, I think, Roman occupation. That is what they were expecting. That is what, as we know from the story leading up to Easter, certainly next Sunday we'll be celebrating Palm Sunday. That is what they expect. He would come to be a conqueror. But he was a conqueror of our sins. But to look at Matthew 6, 25 to 34, and I've taken, you know, I'm using the Passion Translation this time. 6:25. This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't there more to your life than clothing? The Passion Translation, it says, do not be worried. In one or two other translations, especially the King James, its translators take no thought of. But having read commentaries, I think in this one context where this Greek word, these Greek words are used, that is not correct. It's do not be anxious or do not be worried. Because every other place that it's used, the same word, it's translated as do not be anxious or do not be worried. And then Jesus gives an example. I love Jesus' examples. You know I do, because I love pictures. He loves drawing pictures. He loves focusing on things that are real. Sometimes we're pointed, and I looked up a lot of verses about worries and being set free, and it's words. And words paint pictures for some people, but actually God's creation and the way they interact and operate speaks much more to me. An example being is every morning I get up and I do the washing up from the night before. I don't like washing up. But I can guarantee that every morning, outside the kitchen window, and some of you have seen on Brickenback, we have a bird feeder right outside. And sometimes it's the blackbird that's learning how to stand on a very, very slender branch in order to get to it. It's not something that blackbirds do, but it's learning. Or, amazingly, it's a pair of goldfinches. They come in, and that just brings joy to my heart, and it speaks to me of the Father. So in Matthew 6, 26, it says, look at all the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you more valuable to your Father than they? Now, the birds he was referring to were probably ravens, probably the most intelligent bird that the Father created. They are amazing. If you get a chance to see a raven, watch them. They're like crows and rooks and magpies and jackdaws. They're very clever. They learn and they communicate. Ravens are known to communicate to each other. If any of you watch Spring Watch, you will know that up in Anglesey in the spring and winter, there is a flock of ravens that nest in the trees up there, right along the Menai Straits, 50 or 60 of them. Every morning they go out, somewhere in North Wales, and some of them find food, either grain that's been dropped or a carcass or something like that. When they get back at the end of the night, they communicate to the other ravens around, and the following day, you'll find there are a lot more ravens at that particular site. That is how amazing God is. But he cares so much more about us. Yeah. And, you know, I love, you know, you all know we love taking pictures of birds and watching them. And the reason we do that is we love seeing the Father's creation. We are far more valuable. Matthew 6:27. So which one of you is worrying could add anything to your life? We all worry. Another interesting interpretation of the word worry is distraction. Perfect example this morning. That was a distraction. A distraction from praising the Lord. And all of us, I'm sure, one way or another, John was distracted because he had to try and fix it. Others was expecting the words to be up there, and we can't be quite confident of what we're seeing. But there was a point towards the end where we were seeing God is good, when the distractions for most of us had gone, and we actually could focus on him. I could feel the Father's presence in just a few moments. The worries were swept away, and he touched us. I'm sure he touched all of us. Some of us in a very tiny way, because we were still distracted. But worry is a distraction in its simplest form. And there's nothing we could do about it except phone Ben, who could come round, plug it in, and it works for him until John goes and sits down. Now, what is it about John? But it was a... that's what worry does. It distracts us from what we should be doing, what we should be thinking about, where we should be focusing. And what should... And it says, and why should you worry about your clothing? I don't very much, as Claire knows. Except I couldn't find a top this morning that was clean that Claire would accept. And she hasn't said anything about this blue one, but I'm sure she could do. Look at all the beautiful flowers. So spring is amazing. I love spring. Look at the flowers. Look at the daffodils that we've got now. Look at the tulip trees, the different colours. And over a month, some of them, you know, the different colours come out, and they're just amazing for a very short period of time. They're amazing. We can't do anything like that. Man can't create anything as beautiful as that. We get lots of people who love art, things that man has created. But I think what the Father has created throughout all the seasons is amazing. You know, it says Solomon in all his splendor is not robed as beautiful as one of these. Now, for me, spring speaks to me of the new life the Father brings, and it changes my focus. So if he's clothed the meadow with hay, grass, which is here for such a short period of time, and dried up and burnt, won't he provide you with clothes that you need, even though you live with such little faith? So then, forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Or what will happen tomorrow? Or what? You know, in some ways, those are the simple things. But we can be so easily distracted. And he's asking us, you know, I said to Lizzie, I think what the Father is actually saying to all of us at the moment is, where are we focused throughout the day? Where is our focus? Are we going down bunny trails and tracks, worrying about this, that, or the other? Some of it big, some of it our health. Very big issues. And at times, I don't know, you know, some of you will remember, you know, Morecambe and Wise used to do a trick with glasses. Sometimes our focus is like that. It's double. It's not straight. It's not. Now, if we find ourselves worrying and distracted by these things, I think he's encouraging us to refocus, to look to him, to share with one another. If there are worries that have built up, get rid of them. And I'm going to have a little exercise in a minute where we can pray for each other and cast our worries away. Cast the distractions, the things that are just not what he wants on our hearts. There are so many things that unbelievers chase after. There are so many things that we look at and see. If you follow the news avidly, it can become a distraction. Especially the situation in Ukraine. If he's calling you to pray for Ukraine and to intercede for them, fine. But don't worry about what is being said by the news, quotes, news. It's a distraction unless the Father prompts you. There's lots of information being given. Some of it's true, some of it's factual, some of it's conjecture. And as I'm sure John would say, quite a lot of it doesn't represent news at all. It's fake, or it's conjecture, or somebody's views. There is too much of that. But he's calling us to refocus on him, on his kingdom. It says in Matthew 6:33, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Chase is a journey. When you get to my age, I can't run, but I can walk. But not as far as I could 20 years ago. I can't walk the Camino, but maybe the Father is talking to me about walking the Camino. What was interesting and prompting is that one of the computer games that I play, one of the contacts I have, has retired and with his wife is starting a journey on the Camino. And I just shared with him that I knew someone who'd already done that and just encouraged him. And I'm praying for him. It's a journey to chase after, to seek things of God. And if you find something of the Father or Holy Spirit, share it. Encourage others with it. Encourage your other half. I don't share enough with Claire. She will say this, I'm sure. I don't share enough of what the Father has shown me. We share a lot of joy going out and photographing, even in this cold and snow, as some of you have seen the pictures of Claire in the snow at WWT. But there are other things, the little tiny things that really bring joy, that show more of the Father's heart. Share it with those that you're close to. Or when there's an open meeting or a time, just share it. Share it, just insights of more about the Father and the kingdom, because those are the important things. And as you do that, he will deal with the less important things. The end, Jesus says, refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. He's asking us to walk with him every moment during today. What he has for tomorrow, he will be walking with us. We know he will. But he wants us to walk with him today. Now, every day is unique and different for each one of us. But he sent his Holy Spirit, his Comforter, to be with us. And whatever shock or surprise or loss or bereavement we have and we all share with Ralph the loss and the surprise. But he's speaking to us. I couldn't do what Ralph did this morning, and thank you for that. It was a joy and a pleasure to know Maggie. As Chris said in his Facebook comment, there was a twinkle about Maggie that we all loved. The Holy Spirit was in, and he would challenge us through it in many different ways. And there are so many things I think the Father wants to do with us on a daily basis and show us and encourage us. Sometimes it's an ongoing dealing with us. Sometimes it's just a very small thing. But he's shown another side of himself to us this week. And we just thank you for it. So I'm just wondering if we can spend some time. I've got an exercise you can do if you'd like. If you've got worries, I've got some paper and some pencils. And, we can tie it up. You can write it on the pad and you can throw those worries away. Now, that's one way of doing it. Or you can pray for each other if there's something that's worrying you. Ask for prayer, or maybe just the person sitting next to you. Something is worrying us about today, or tomorrow, or sometime in the future. He wants to set you free. He wants you to walk more closely with him, to receive more of him as you learn to walk with him. The disciples did it. They did it every day for 3 years. They learnt more of him. And after he went and when he sent the comforter back, they continue to learn through Acts. That's what we're finding. They weren't finished at the day of Pentecost. They had the Spirit. They had the power to speak out. But dear old Peter still had things that the Lord wanted to deal with in his life. He still had problems with the Roman centurion and others, and so did Paul. He was continuing to learn. And at the end of Paul's life, and I said I wouldn't necessarily bring Paul in, but I will, because the Lord reminded me in the latter years of Paul's life, he was in a prison cell in Rome. Not where he expected to be. He wrote to some of the churches from that prison cell. And the Lord continued to be with him and set him free on a daily basis. So I suggest we spend a little time just thinking about things that are worrying us. And if you'd like to write them down and then throw them away, I'll pass out some paper and pencil. You don't have to tell people what your worries are. Or if you would like people to pray for something, whether it's big, whether it's small, doesn't matter. It's still getting in the way of what the Father wants to do. And he doesn't want you to worry about tomorrow. The treatment you're going to have tomorrow? Or is it the lunch you're going to cook later? He wants you to walk with him every day and become freer just to move with him. So, Father, I pray that you will speak to each one of us, that you will set us free, more free from the worries, the stresses, the distractions that are around us and seem to be growing each day. That you will fill us, Lord, with more of you, more encouragement, more of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me just finish with probably my favorite psalm. And I should have prepared this a little better because at nearly 67, my eyesight isn't quite as good as it was. Last time I had this Bible with me, the print was quite large. But that's a distraction. That's a distraction. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near you. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Let me read that again. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Father, we have shared our worries. We've written some of our worries down and just thrown them away in that bag as a symbol that You are going to set us free, and we want to be free from those worries and distractions so that You can fill us some more. Father, I pray that You will bless each and every one of us. You've actually done that, or actually just in our mind. We've shared with You our worries. Some of it very deep in our lives. Some of it very, very personal in our lives. And You are calling us to walk, to chase after You more each day. And You want to set us free from these distractions, this stress, these anxieties, to find Your pace as we chase after You and Your kingdom. The pace is ours uniquely ourselves. Some of us can run. Some of us can walk. Some of us have to plod. And some of us just take one step at a time. But that is all You're asking us to do. And that's You will walk with us every step. Your Holy Spirit will be speaking to us, and You will be opening our eyes and ears to more of you and your kingdom, Lord. Lord and Father, I just pray that you will set, and you have set, people free today from worries and anxieties, and that you will move people on to a deeper walk with you, that you are going to open more doors, show more of yourself to everyone here as we move forward with you. Lord, as we approach this time of Easter, just open our eyes to more of you, of your last days and your death on that cross, that you will give us new revelations for ourselves and revelations we can share with friends, acquaintances and contacts that we don't know, we haven't met yet. Because as I found as I've gone through Matthew, you approach everybody differently. You had different words. And there are times when you said things in different ways or nothing. And Lord, you are calling us to share you as we go through our daily lives. And you are lifting the yoke that's pressing down on our shoulders, and you are setting us free. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.